Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, and welcome back to the Masked Singer Wrap-Up Podcast. We're here today to talk about Season 5, Episode 10 of the Masked Singer. That's right. The Feisty Five is in the building, about to become the Fearsome Four, something like that, probably. But we'll talk about the five for now. I'm your host, Puya the Air Fryer, Zan Vakili, back at it again once more. And of course, I'm never here on my own. I've always got to have my ride or die with me. That person is Liana, the can opener, Boris. Liana, how are you doing today?
Crank, crank. Is that what can openers sound like?
I've been meaning to talk to you about this and I keep forgetting. You don't have to respond to whatever I give you as a name. To open up Season 5, Episode 10 of the Masked Singer Podcast, you decided your first words would be crank, crank.
Crank, crank. Let's go. I can't explain it, okay? But it made sense in the moment, okay? Because
crank, crank.
I don't have a lot of time to think, right? Because you're telling me the thing that I am, and then I must immediately say, hey, Puya, what's up? I'm the can opener, crank, crank. Whatever. Fine. Here's what I was also potentially thinking of saying as you were doing the introduction, which was, I'm so happy that you pointed out that it was the Feisty Five, because I watched the episode and thought I heard Spicy Five, and I thought that was so lazy because they had the Spicy Six and they're just going to keep it going with the Spicy Five. No, I had wax in my ears. Feisty Five. So I like that. I like the alliteration, and I'm also happy. What was your suggestion? The Feisty Four?
Fearsome Four. What am I lazy like the Masked Singer producers that you heard?
Oh man. Yeah. Okay. So good. So good. Happy. Overall happy.
Overall very, very, very happy. Yeah. And honestly, that is a great descriptor for what I felt about this episode. It was very, very happy. It was a very fun episode. Very light. We moved the needle. We're going to be at four next time. Technically we're at five if you count the Cloodle do, which will be unmasked next week. So Exciting stuff is coming through, but we're here to talk about this episode.
And this episode threw me for a loop. I know that you were saying, oh, this was fun, I really enjoyed this, but this episode I think really showed me how competitive, and I've been saying it, right? So I shouldn't be surprised, but when the Piglet, who I maybe would have put a little bit lower on the rankings, comes out and kicks butt. Oh my gosh. My whole world was thrown for a loop. Now, the Russian dolls ended up going home, which I think both you and I agree is the right place for them to leave, because while they are talented singers, the gimmick is kind of over with. So I'm happy with the ultimate outcome. But the actual, and when we go beat by beat, the actual show is a little bit jarring for me.
1000%. It was 1000% the right result for me. But I think this is a very live season, right, Meow? I think that anyone can win of the remaining four. I don't think anyone's out for the count. Even, and I'm going to be honest here, even my boy, the Chameleon, who I've been feeling like is going to be coming up soon, maybe even next week, I'm not willing to write off the Chameleon either. It's a very live Final Four to me.
I may rule out the Chameleon.
I know, but we did that. We did that last week, and look what happened. So I
know
feel like
that's true. No, you're exactly right. And when I went back and I listened to each of the performances, the Chameleon's performance was the one that I was most impressed by the Piglet. But this performance was one that maybe is a song choice, but I was vibing with it and I had a great time. So yeah, I can't really complain.
Yeah, we'll get to the. I have some thoughts about the Chameleon and the Chameleon's success on the show. They do start us off with, first of all, we have a guest panelist this episode, and it's none other than Holy Moly's Rob Riggle is here.
What is AKA, Holy Moly?
It's the show that Rob Riggle hosts.
Oh, that's that TV show you're telling me about. Yeah.
It's a game show that is themed after mini golf.
It's on ABC.
Yes.
So when I made that joke when we watched it, it actually didn't hold up because he is indeed on like network television. It's on ABC.
Exactly.
Yeah. Wow. You wanna hear
the series features contestants competing against each other in a series of head-to-head sudden death matchups on a supersized mini golf obstacle course.
I should compete in that. No, well, you like, should
here's compete the here's the kicker is that Steph Curry is also involved with this show.
Oh, I'm looking at pictures right now. This seems wild. Maybe we should check it out. Should we do a one-off podcast on Holy Moly?
Maybe. This year on February, they announced the series was renewed for a third and fourth season. The third season is titled Holy Moly 3D in 2D.
Okay, that sounds like a parody. That sounds like an SNL skit. That doesn't sound real.
It's true. It's a Holy Moly in 3D.
In 2D. Wait.
So if anyone, what if they had like a celebrity edition or they had a guest on and Harry Styles comes on? Is it then Holy Moly in 3D and 2D with 1D? Because that's too much.
Holy Moly 3D and 2D. That's so dumb. Oh, I love it. Okay, it's set to premiere June 17th. You want to do a one-off podcast on Holy Moly 3D and 2D?
No! What are you talking about? This is like you watching Tag all over again. Although I think this would be more fun because we both like mini golf.
I can't even say. That's what exactly. Okay, a few thoughts. First of all, I can't even say the name without laughing. It's so funny. And also, we are well-equipped to cover this show because of our long-standing competition when it comes to mini golf, right? Like it's perfect for us.
Oh, I'm looking at some clips. It actually looks pretty fun.
Okay, sorry, can I also point out the fact that a supersized miniature golf obstacle course sounds like an oxymoron? It's like jumbo shrimp, a supersized miniature golf course, right? Am I off base? I think
holy
I'm right.
Moly
I
know 3D I'm right. And 2D coming soon.
Oh, holy moly, it's 3D and 2D. No, I don't think that's how you would. Hold on. Let me try again. Okay.
No, please
holy
don't. Okay, go for it.
Yeah, Steph Curry serves as executive producer and resident golf pro with this. Is he a golf pro?
He's a basketball legend. Well, he's still playing.
I know that. I know that, but.
What team is he on? Without looking it up, what team is he on?
No, he's on the Golden State Warriors. Boom. How did you know that? Because I remember when they were like winning a bunch and it was very much in pop culture. And as someone who just exists in the universe,
I remember when they were winning a bunch.
There was a time when they won a bunch. Oh, and I was 33. Alive. Okay. All right. That's enough about Holy Moly. Yeah, 3D.
Holy Moly. How did we get here?
Holy Moly. Okay. All right.
So Holy Moly. What did you think of him as a guest host or guest panelist?
I thought he did absolutely fabulous. I think he sort of falls in that same, and the introduction when he gets introduced is very much along the same lines of the Will Arnett's, the Joel McHale's of the world, of the energy of making fun of Ken, you know? So somebody that can kind of slide in there and really be part of that dynamic, I think will be successful because Ken is such an easy punching bag when it comes to, you know, to making jokes, right? So you had all of the Hangover stuff, which you and I forgot that he was in the Hangover, which was fun to remember, but I think it worked.
Yeah, I had to look up to remember, and he was in the scene where in the first movie where they shoot Zach Galifianakis with the taser gun.
Oh, yes. Okay, yeah, that sounds familiar. Yeah, he's the cop, right?
Yeah. It took me seven ever to figure it out. But yeah, no, he was okay. It was fine. I think in a long list of ranking the judges, which at this point, I do not remember who was on this season. Rob Riggle was good. Rob Riggle was funny. And I think that's the key. Was it last week that we had Chrissy Metz? She was good on the guesses. Whereas here, Rob Riggle was horrendous on the guesses, but funny. Because he worked well with the goofiness of everyone else.
I thought he worked well with the panel. I've been a fan of Rob Riggle since he was on The Daily Show, right? Or was he on The Colbert Report? Whatever. He was on The Daily Show. He was one of the correspondents on The Daily Show. And I felt like, I vibe with him. So then to have him here, good fit.
Good fit indeed. You know what else is a good fit? When you can fit three porcelain dolls into the same thing, that's a Russian doll for you. Liana, take it away.
Oh, okay. I felt like the clues this week, I hesitate actually to call them clue packages. So, for example, the Russian dolls, while I enjoyed it because we got to see the costume cam where, you know, it was, oh, what they see with inside. It was just a lot of banter and, oh, I wouldn't be here without my team and, you know, yada, yada, yada. So I felt like the clues really fell under that side. The one super clue we got was who the contestants are a fan of. So for the Russian dolls, that was Weird Al Yankovic. And I'm not mad at it because at this point, I think we know who everybody is. And it would, I don't think it's necessarily a waste of time to do this kind of stuff.
Hmm. Yeah, I think that we're pretty much at the end of the barrel for the clue packages. So it makes sense. I mean, they pretty much talked about having to focus on their wrist choreography because they can't really move around in the costumes.
Right. And it's like wearing a sandbag, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Like really heavy, can't move.
And then I love that they're like, the advantage is the panel doesn't know how many of us fit in here. It's like, they already know it's three of you. Like, there's no world where they think there's more or less of you. So,
and then they tried to show, oh, there's four of them. No. There's not four of them.
And that kind of, we can talk about the performance with that as the segue. So they do I'm Still Standing by Elton John. There's a Union Jack motif. I like the piano on stage. And I thought like the glasses were a good goofy fit to them. That was funny. But I felt like the performance was fine. It missed Razzle Dazzle for me. And the part that really did not need to be there and just kind of felt like it was clunky and awkward was when the Men in Black dragged in the fourth, like the big Russian doll that doesn't have feet. And they just kind of like moved it from the right side of the stage to the left side of the stage. And it just felt like it just got cut in the middle of the act. And I didn't care for it. And it was okay. Let me preface this. It was okay, but that is comparing it to everything else we saw on the night. Because this is the best Final Five we've had ever, in my opinion.
I have been so impressed with this season, and I've really been having such a great time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is indicative based on this night's performance, where we're here to I would agree with you. I thought that it was fine. I think it didn't quite show off their range in the way that maybe they wanted it to. I did like the Elton John glasses and the chicken feather boas. But it didn't quite have that oomph that we need in such a competitive season with such standout performers. And that was where I felt like it fell short. And again, like you said, with the bringing the fourth doll across, it's kind of that gimmick of, oh, but how many are there? We're going to pretend like we're rolling a fourth one across the stage when we know we don't get that. Come on. Like we know at this point. So that's why I'm happy that they went here, both because of the performance and because I'm the gimmick. It, everything needs to come to an end at the right time. And I feel like this was their time.
Yeah, it made sense to me. I think ultimately for me, when you're also, there's three of you, I feel like there's that more expectation that you're going to blow us out the water. And I felt okay. I felt okay about this performance, all things considered. Mm-hmm. And there's only so much you can do to lean on a gimmick before it gets played out. So there's no more illusion of how many of you are there this close mm-hmm. to the end. It all comes down to performance on the night. And while I didn't think it was a bad performance, I think comparing it to the other four, it was not as good. And we'll get to the remaining four to talk about it.
I think one thing that having three of them there is they're able to harmonize. They can have these really beautiful backing vocals. But mm-hmm. I think in general, people don't really pay attention to those types of things that give the performances depth because they're a little bit more subtle. And because it's a stage performance and there's like, you know, all the razzle dazzle going on, those little subtleties don't really stand out. So the added benefit of having multiple people is a percentage, I guess, like just doesn't have as big of an impact, especially when we see the other performers having backing tracks. So they can create that mm-hmm. artificially. It's not like Chameleon, for example, right? That wasn't him singing everything. And since that's allowed, you kind of lose the benefit of having the extra people. So while technically I can appreciate what they did, it just doesn't have that same oomph and that same pop as some of the other performances.
I co-sign all of that with you. We're on the same page here. Then we get to the comments of the judges. And by comments, I mean, there's not much else going on there. This week's gimmick is, hi, you have fan mail. We're going to bring you your mail, but we're not going to open it. We're going to make you open it, but we're going to deliver the fan mail to you. Do you have any thoughts about this new delivery system?
Because it's a felony. Exactly. It's a felony to open up someone else's mail. So I'm happy that they are just abiding by the law. I think maybe I missed this, but it's just generic fan mail, right? It's not written by anyone in particular.
No, it's not written by anyone in particular. And it's just like subtle clues with like some of the verbiage or vocab use.
Okay, right. Because I noticed it with Piglet. There was a Drew was one of the words that was used. Drew Lachey, I think, was supposed to be the reference. Yeah, this is where they've turned the clue packages into these kinds of things. I'm fine with it. I also like the nesting mailboxes that they did for.
That was a fun touch. I like that. I like that Rob Riggle joked and then it happened.
Right. He should be a producer on the show.
What did you think of the golden pillow that suddenly makes an appearance here with Nicole?
Oh, that came out of nowhere for me. I was watching the episode and then all of a sudden Nicole had this golden pillow. Where did this come from? So I missed that. If that was relevant to the plot.
I genuinely feel like this is one of those things where I'm going to say, I don't remember this. You're going to say you don't remember this. And then someone's going to tweet us and be like, this was on episode 4.
Yeah, it was very obvious.
Forgotten about it. Don't yeah.
Don't you guys pay attention to the show you literally talk about each week? No.
We pay too much attention. To the little details.
Do you think there's some sort of reverse situation where it's almost if you spend too much time on something, you forget it? You got to spend the appropriate amount of time on something. Honestly, no, you know what it is? Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I'm changing the subject. So you go first.
I was going to say, honestly, with like 90 Day Fiance for me, I do feel that way. I feel like because now, especially it's all year round, mm-hmm. because my focus is always on it, I'm constantly losing information and not retaining information, and it's brutal. I think I need the breaks in, but you need like the little bursts of here's the show, okay, show's gone, here's the next season,
because then you reflect and you remember. So I think my mm-hmm. issue is that we cover the show, I take all the, you know, take the notes, digest it, whatever, and then I just spit it all back out at you. And it's just it leaves my brain because I podcast about it. That's what I'm gonna go with.
Okay, but I feel
neither
like
here nor there.
There's been moments on this podcast where I'll talk about something and then I'll reference a contestant on season 3 to discuss a performer on season 5. And then I think to myself as I'm speaking, like, damn, Puya, you really know what you're saying here. How did you bring that up? That's a good reference. I really love
good job,
moments.
Me.
Yeah.
That's that meme of giving yourself a medal. It's you, but you're giving yourself the medal. Have you seen that?
I mean, I can picture it. Yes.
Yeah. So, okay. Now, can I pull back the curtain a little bit? So we watched this episode live. And when the Russian Dolls clue was read and love you to the moon and back was said, I go, haha, it's Savage Garden. To then Ken Jeong goes, aha, it's Savage Garden. And it was very embarrassing for me.
You and Ken Jeong are the same person. I don't know.
We're both doctors, so.
Yeah. Smart doctors and funny to some.
Depends on who you ask.
But yeah, so with all the golden pillow and everything, Nicole says Moon, Mbop, Hansen, which, okay, cool. I'm taking Leona's word for this at this point because I do not know who Hansen is.
Mbop.
So then we go over to your favorite of mine, the Black Swan, coming in, the Black Swan's time. Did you feel like this episode was edited weirdly?
In what way?
I feel like there were a couple pauses in the middle of the performance, like commercial break right before the Piglet starts singing. The segues from one performance to another felt like there was barely any segue. It was very weird. I don't know.
Yeah, there were definitely some ad breaks at places where I felt like normally there would not be an ad break. So if that's what you're talking about, yes.
Yes. Okay. So
okay.
The Black Swan's clue package.
Wait. Sorry. Hold on. Before we go about that, the other Ken guest was the Bare Naked Ladies. I'm trying to think of an appropriate way to say this. Be very excited if the Bare Naked Ladies were to
What's the inappropriate way to say it?
I can't. It's inappropriate.
What?
It's not appropriate. Anyway, I'd be very excited.
God.
I'd flood my basement.
That's the most appropriate way I could think of to say it. I hate you so much. Why? We knew what you meant.
Because I love the Bare Naked Ladies, and that'd be so fun. Ugh, they'd be immediately recognized. So,
but, well, you can plus, segue us.
I guess they're not all. They're not really all folklore. Okay, so they did those like quarantine jamboree songs on their YouTube page. That was really fun during the beginning days of quarantine. Really helped me get through it. Black Swan. Oh, holy moly! What was it? Holy moly, 3D and 2D, it's the Black Swan coming out of your TV. Is that good?
What accent is that?
I don't know. It's a little bit like old timey. Here, she. we're going to go watch the television, she. Okay, Black Swan, help me.
So Black Swan says, this is a rendition of my song I love. Their super fan clue thing is Cher. Okay. And then we start the performance and it's this beautiful black and white with red highlights motif right out the gate that I enjoyed every bit of. And then we get the Ed Sheeran tune. Do you know what the name of the song is?
Thinking Out Loud.
Yes. So it's her own rendition of Thinking Out Loud. I thought it was an interesting take. Her voice is phenomenal throughout this performance. But I wasn't crazy about this rendition of the song. Like, I recognize her vocal prowess in it. And like her voice was great in it. But I didn't like the costume her voice wore doing this performance, if that makes sense.
I was terrified that she was going to go home. Because I know, especially after the Piglet's performance, there was a little voice in the back of my head. Mentally preparing myself if the Black Swan went home. She's like, Leona, it's okay. Everything's going to be okay. it's just a television show. Because I, especially the first, I would say maybe 20 seconds or so, felt so off. And again, nothing to do with her or her vocal performance per se, but it was just a weirdly mixed version of Thinking Out Loud. So, you know, she says it's her own rendition, so, and she loves it, and not exactly my favorite, but I think that's kind of where I felt about the whole thing.
So it's weird because I feel like I don't know if I'm describing it right, but it's like saying, I love the sandwiches at Five Guys, but I didn't like the Five Guys sandwiches were delightful, but I didn't like this Five Guys restaurant that I went into. Does that make sense?
No.
Like, I liked her voice. I thought she did a vocally great performance here. So I wasn't worried about her leaving, but I was very worried
about the song, whatever.
No, I think if you're coming up with a sandwich analogy, I think it's that I like in general meatballs, but I don't want to eat a meatball sub.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Yeah,
it's like I like meatballs, but I don't like It's like when they come to the table, like everything to your satisfaction. You're like, yeah, I love Five Guys, but this branch is not it. I'm not loving this branch. There's something off about this branch, but the sandwich is delicious right now. Sandwich is great. Love the sandwich. Not completely.
Okay.
I don't know.
So there's something else. But, all right. Whatever. What are we, a food podcast? And go listen to Doughboys. All right. Yes. It was fine. Again, vocally, she's very strong. We've been new about that whole thing. The performance, the background dancers and stuff were a little weird. I was just too confused by the song to really pay attention.
I think there's no universe that anybody, except for the chameleon, leaves next week. I just feel like her, the piglet, and the yeti are so strong that I don't see the chameleon potentially riding it out. But it's stuff like this that could cause the chameleon to be in the final three. If one of the other three pick a rendition of a song that might not hit, that could be the deal breaker. That could be the change. And we'll discuss it when we get to the chameleon, because I do think the chameleon has a strategy that is going to work.
I feel like we've said this before, but song choice is so critically important.
Oh, yeah.
And this is one of those moments for me that you can have, to me, the front runner of the competition make a, you know, decent, but at this stage in the game, questionable song choice, and gives Liana nerves about her leaving, potentially.
Nerves.
Nerve. You know, uniqueness. You know. Nerves.
You okay. Know. Speaking of nerves, no. Anyway, so the Black Swan then has a clue package letter thing. Her letter is feathered and it says, "You're mega talented. I would never forget you on Oprah. You got the major recognition that you deserve."
Good for her.
Yeah. Do you know what this is with the relationship?
JoJo, I'm sure JoJo was on Oprah.
Yeah.
Everyone's on Oprah. Oprah. Okay, let's see. Yes, she's performed, it seems, multiple times.
What's a recent recognition?
Oh, I see. The Oprah Winfrey Show contacted her, inviting her to perform. So she performed as a very young child.
I see. All right. Okay. All right. Okay. So.
Ooh, here's a radio interview. JoJo shares what she really likes in bed. Oh my! Let's watch that.
Can you keep your eye on the pod, ma'am?
Fine.
Okay, so the guesses go: Dua Lipa for Ken Jeong, Normani for Robin Thicke. None of them mention JoJo, which makes me feel more comfortable about the night, because JoJo's name was not mentioned.
Mm-hmm. I think someone did someone tweet at us that. Someone
every person had been mentioned
JoJo before.
Prior. Yeah.
Yes, so, that everyone had been mentioned. But not today.
No.
That's what matters.
Not today. I want to acknowledge that comment, because I do remember when Omarion was brought up, but it was so like, it could be this person or this person or this person, and then Robin Thicke moved on. Like, it wasn't like that was his solid guess of the night kind of thing. But that's still a record. Like, that's still a recognition or a mention, which I think is canon, and I'm glad the listeners pointed it out.
Nick Cannon.
Okay. No. Okay. All right. I'm Winnie the Pooh, and you are Piglet, so you talk about the Piglet now.
Oink, oink. All right. Okay, the Piglet's clue package. What happened in the Piglet's clue package? Nothing, really. It was just I'm going to do something that's never been seen before on The Masked Singer, right? That was that whole setup thing,
the
right?
Piglet, what else happened? Watch The Masked Singer with their little one, and when they asked their little one who they should go as, the little one said,
"Oh, that's
the pig,"
right,
in like the first season, and then it's wild that he is now here as the Piglet. The all-time idol thing was Bruce Willis. That's pretty much it. That was pretty much it. And then,
which is actually pretty wild, because that was it was season one when they was watching a pig, and then he came in, we know, last minute. And if the pig was just a costume that they had, it's fate. So that's pretty cool. And it's got the whole like propeller hat thing. I feel like that's very kid centric.
I love that you explained the reference because it was needed.
I mean, you're welcome. Because we go through things. Sometimes we forget that he was a last minute replacement to come in. So it's not like he came in saying, okay, I want to be the maybe he did. But because there wasn't a whole lot of time, it's highly likely that he just had to fit into another costume.
Are you
circuiting? No. Am I wrong?
No.
Okay. Thank you. So. Okay. So anyway, the piglet, my face, my jaw dropped when the piglet started with the whole opera moment. I was baffled because I felt like I had been critical of the piglet's singing capability in the past. And so for him to bust this out, I don't know if he's operatically trained, classically trained, but this could have fooled me. Very, 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 very impressive. I'm also very happy with the choice for him to only do it for the first part and then swing into Superstition by Stevie Wonder, because it was this initial captivating moment, showed off his vocal range, showed off his capability, and then went into something that's maybe more along the lines of the Razzle Dazzle. Of course, he's still doing a great job singing, but it also has the Razzle and the Dazzle.
Yeah, so I've been like in a beatbox rabbit hole the last month or so. And I've watched a lot of beatbox battles, and they do this a lot in beatboxing where they'll like start it off like the first immediate 15, 20 seconds of their allotted 90 seconds. They'll start off with a technical beatboxing that is recognized for not necessarily its entertainment factor, but just how good it is. And then they dive into the entertainment side, the more I'm going to make the popular music type of thing. So it felt the exact same way here. The opera was so captivating, but then we still got so much razzle dazzle with performance afterwards with the Stevie Wonder tune. This was literally the best performance of the night for me. I think personally, it's the Piglet's best performance yet. And this to me makes the Piglet way more of a front runner than the Piglet might have been before.
I had the exact same feeling. This may be the high. This is the peak. And then there's a little bit of a drop off after this, but based on this performance, I thought it was the best performance of the night. I was captivated the whole time. I was on the edge of my seat, really, with it. And that re-emphasizes for me how tight this race is.
Yeah, which I hate because I don't like the piglet costume.
If I have to look at the winner, the piglet, you're going to be devastated. Like,
think about all the iconic costumes that have lifted that trophy, right? You've got the monster, lovely costume. The fox, amazing costume.
Night Angel.
Night Angel. Sorry, I couldn't remember the name of the costume. Yeah, the Night Angel and the Sun, both also amazing, amazing costumes. The piglet cannot be there. There's no world. There's no world where the piglet's there. There's just no
Night
world.
Angel. Night Angel has a weird face, though.
Night Angel did not have a weird face.
Yeah, because the mouth was open.
Let me look.
And
at
it looked
again.
Weird.
Looking at the Night Angel. Oh, the Night Angel did kind of have a scary. No, you know what? The Night Angel looks good. I like the Night Angel.
Hmm.
Yeah. No, the Night Angel looks good to me. The Sun. Okay. Rank them. Rank the four right now.
The monster, okay, wait, sorry. Are we going based on the costume, just only the costume? That's all we're allowed to look at?
Yes.
That's really tough because the monster, it's hard for me to separate out because I love the monster so much and I loved all of the little outfit changes that they did for the monster. So it's really hard for me to not put the monster first, even though I know in my heart of hearts it's not the best costume.
I'll tell you who's last for me.
The Night Angel.
No, the Sun is last for me.
How dare you?
I hated the upside down face. I just hated it. I didn't like that. Every other part of the sun's costume's great, but between that, the upside down face, and then there were one or two moments where the little sun cape in the background was not symmetrical. Yeah, it's an easy decision for me. Okay. And I still think the sun's costume was amazing, but there.
I mean they're all really good, except for the penguins and the orcas were both not up to par. Okay, here's my official ranking, and this is setting all my monster love aside. It goes the fox, it's just dope. The sun, monster, night angel.
Okay.
In that order.
Wow, the monster's third.
I know, but that's because I think that the sun's costume is so gorgeous. It's so pretty. But the monsters, I have my little baby monster right here. It's so cute. Whatever. No one cares about this. Move on.
No one cares. You say no one cares about this, but what, people care about the nuanced discussion of a piglet beating a chameleon in a stage show where we don't know who the celebrities are and the clues are ridiculous and Nick Cannon's wearing a Pink Panther suit?
As Rob Riggle says, this is a ridiculous show, but I love it anyway.
That was a bold declaration from Rob when he hosts a giant mini golf 3D and 2D show.
Yeah, very much that. Those in glass houses. Okay, Rob, because literally you have something called Holy Moly 3D and 2D. And then they had Holy Moly 2, the sequel, which I'm surprised it wasn't called the Squeakquel, but I'm fine with that as well.
Is it run by Alvin and the Chipmunks?
Yeah, that was the joke.
It's funny. You're funny.
I'm so topical with my references. I made an Alvin and the Chipmunks reference. So right. I'm pretty much a genius and the best podcaster out there. No need to debate that.
Let's apply these guesses to the judges. I don't know. Let me segue us out of this
topical, nonsense. I've got a rash.
What?
It doesn't matter.
How is that a segue? How?
No. Oh, speaking of topical, I'm itching to get into the guesses.
That's worse. That is worse.
No, how is that worse?
You made it be about the body.
You said topical.
And apply, and I was going to move on.
Yeah. That makes me think of cream.
You do this on purpose. You know that, right? Like, it's very obvious what you're doing.
I just speak the words that pop into my brain.
See, it's the joke police coming after you for being unfunny.
Oh, no. All right. I'm off.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So the guesses go as follows. Jenny said Justin Timberlake. Ken Jeong said Jeremy Renner. And Robin Thicke nails it with Nick Lachey. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then the fan mail said, whether on my TV or headphones, I'm lucky to have met you in the 90s. 98 to be exact. Degrees to be precise. There you go.
Oh.
Or like it was also in the 90s. So easy. Easy done.
Yeah, they're really just telegraphing this one, aren't they?
I mean, here's the thing, though. We figured it out. Doesn't mean that it's easy for everybody. We got lucky.
But they're in the realm of boy bander.
Here's the thing for me, right? Outside of the whole Love is Blind side of the clue packages, I wouldn't have known this is Nick Lachey because I didn't listen to Nick Lachey because I've never listened to 98 Degrees. So it would have been out of my element. I got lucky. That's why I know. Whereas I feel like some people, it's the other way around. Some people might not know. There's more people like me. I don't know. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, I think it's obvious and I stand by that.
What a show off.
How dare you?
Yeah. Ugh. Well, it's abominable how confident you are that you know everything. But nailed it. Next,
that was a good one.
Is nothing
that was good
like that. It's the Yeti.
If I interrupt the good transition, does it still count? That's
no,
my bad.
Because like I'm trying to firm it and you're like, it's good. It's a great one.
Oh, that's good. Yay.
All right. So Yeti spaghetti ready. Here comes the Yeti. And the Yeti's clue package, they talk about being the last wild card standing, which round of applause for the Yeti. The Yeti also says that each week they're trying to show a new side to themselves. They're pretty sure they're the only masked singer to have roller skated, which you have. Mm-hmm. It's true. But stop bringing it up now. Go do something else. But no, they love the masked singer. They like the not having the pressure of wanting to be perfect. They're going to show us another new side to themselves. And that is a country song that they've never even karaoke'd before. And then the person whom they have a fandom link thing with is Diddy. Diddy helped me reach the top of the mountain. Okay. Now, would you like to take it away on the performance of it all?
Top of the snow mountain. One thing I noticed for the very first time maybe I missaw it, but I think the eyes of the Yeti costume light up.
Oh, they do.
Has it been that way?
Yes. That's not
I
news.
Just never noticed. Great. Well, it was news to Liana. So I thought that was really cool. I think it was because when they opened on the performance, it was very dark and they had a close up shot of the face. So whatever. Fine. And then they had the whole thing with the fire, which I thought was a really nice touch, because I think if you're going to do a song like Bless the Broken Road by Rascal Flatts, it's nice to then match that energy with the actual on stage performance of it all. And I thought that this was a really well done job for, I guess, I don't know if the Yeti makes the decisions, but the production crew. I thought it matched well. And then with the Yeti doing a great job with the song, I felt it brought it all together.
Yeah. So I think that the Yeti is doing a lot and doing all of it well. I don't think there's a weak spot in the Yeti's game at the moment. I really don't. Even because I think the Yeti does something here that is risky for the Yeti, similarly to how the Black Swan did something that was risky for the Black Swan. And I think in the battle of who did it better on the night, I think the Yeti did it better on the night. But the Yeti's been a front runner for me the minute we heard the Yeti speak. And that's not shown any signs of falling. And I think on the night, I think ultimately because the Piglet blew my socks off because I didn't expect it from the Piglet gets a nod. But the Yeti's been the same consistent Yeti from the beginning and is trying something new every time, which is good because I feel like the Yeti's collecting get out of jail free cards. So in the event that the Yeti has, let's say, a subpar performance next week, you will remember, well, he still was the only one who roller skated. The Yeti did a rap song. The Yeti did a country song. The Yeti's doing everything. So that is a good thing to have in your back pocket moving forward.
I feel the same way about the Black Swan, that I felt she has built such a strong, diverse set of performances that this maybe didn't, like me personally, I didn't appreciate it as much, but it was able to potentially carry her through.
Agreed.
Now, I feel like Taryn, because the fact that the Yeti came in late, meaning that the Yeti overall had to do less performances. It's the technicality of it all that makes me feel like Taryn. And it's like I'm going to rank whatever. The fact that the Yeti didn't have to do as many performances to me, I would give the Yeti a lower score in the Stockwatch because of the fact that we haven't had to see as much from the Yeti. And I'm the Yeti is crawling up there, where I'm feeling a little bit more confident with the Yeti winning the whole thing just based on what he's been able to do so far in the competition. But in the back of my mind, I am always thinking that these other competitors had to do, what, two more performances than the Yeti did? Because I wonder if the Yeti had to put out two more performances, are they going to be able to hit the same?
Yes, I think so. So here's the thing.
But that's what I would say. But see, that's the thing, is that the Black Swan, up until this week, I would say, yeah, of course, that she could do a million performances and they're all going to hit the same. But no, you have a misstep, because I think when you have to do so many performances, the opportunity for mistakes increases just percentage wise because you're doing more performances.
Yes, but so my thing is that it's clear the Yeti is also going out of their way to prove themselves because of how big and bold the decisions are to be doing diverse things and having diverse features in your repertoire. Because when I look at it, I'm looking at the episode list, right? It's not like the game of Big Brother where, oh, someone who comes in week two or three has had to do less gaming than the week one person, because here it's pretty much voted out on strength anyways. So we always knew, you look at the first four, the Yeti was going to beat all four of those performers anyways. And I hear what you're saying with, like, if you have to do 12 performances, you're going to run out of material. Maybe. But also, the Yeti's the performer through and through. Every person left in the final four is a musician and is someone who has had to do the hustle, like, day in, day out, years on end. So I don't think they're going to run out.
The Black Swan did three performances before the Yeti even did one.
Yes.
So if you're looking at a portfolio, how do you normalize that for number of performances? Because I would say, okay, well, if the Yeti can turn out five or six really solid performances, that's great. Or let's say they have one misstep. The Black Swan also only has one misstep. The Black Swan has been able to do more strong, has had on total stronger performances because she's had to do more of them. I feel like that needs to be factored into the equation.
I'm confused. So to me, it sounds like, when did this become a Yeti versus Black Swan in goodness? Well,
I'm using them as examples, right? But you could, of course, the Piglet, the Chameleon could also go into, just because my personal feeling is that those two are the strongest. And are the two, if I'm having to rank them, right?
The Yeti and the Piglet?
No, the Yeti and the Black Swan. Those would be the two that I would put at my top two. If I personally was having to do it.
No, we have the same top two.
In the same way that the Yeti is trying to diversify his portfolio, I would say the Black Swan is doing the same thing. I mean, she did Heart, she did Shawn Mendes, she did Whitney Houston, didn't she do Stevie Wonder at one point, Kings of Leon, Ed Sheeran. So she is, I think, in the same way, trying to do all of these different artists and all of these different vocal styles to prove that she can do all these different things. Yeah, I don't remember where I was going with that, but that's a thing.
So here's what I will say is that for me, ultimately, you know, you kind of referenced the whole Stockwatch of it all. Ultimately, with The Masked Singer, it's a case by case basis, meaning that overall performance does matter in some way, shape, or form. But in that finale, it really all comes down to the vibe of the room and the song you choose. You think about season two and the Rottweiler hits us with this rendition of Alive by Sia, which was just so amazing, so breathtaking. But then the Fox comes out and does a mashup with like a freestyle rap in the middle that's all linked to the Fox. And that's like that extra bit of razzle dazzle you need to take the win. And like there's like a little bit of dance solo in there. So it really, like, that last performance is going to be what takes it for whoever is at the final three for me.
I guess that's true, that this is, it's sort of in Drag Race now with the lip sync finale. It's just get to the finals. And then once you're in the finals, then everything that you did before that, it doesn't matter because you just have to execute the lip syncs, which I think half true, which I also think is half true here as well. So yes, I hear you. I hear what you're saying. And I do think that that's part of it, is that the emphasis is put on the final performances, but sure, a little bit of stock goes into what happened before.
Yeah, so like this, to use another example real quick, it's like you know how Texas Hold'em's played, right?
21, baby.
No, that's blackjack. So yikes. No, so the way Texas Hold'em works, Liana, is the specific way I've played it is every player's dealt two cards, and then using those two cards, they put five cards down the middle.
Right? Yeah. And the river and the run and all that. Yeah, right. I got
and
that.
You have to make the best five card hand with the five in the middle, meaning
and you have
two cards end up not being in your hand. So I feel like if you look at it from that perspective, too, is that arguably, yes, the Yeti might not have six performances to show for it. But then that means that the four best performances of the Black Swan will be counted and the four best Piglet ones will be counted. So in a way, not having those extra performances that can be overlooked might be a bad thing.
I guess so. Anyway, it's something that popped into my brain.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a good discussion. This is all to say, and also to preface, we like all of these people here. There's no one I hate. And if any four of them win, I'm happy, except for the Piglet costume. But that's it. Okay. I forget where we were. Did we talk about the Yeti's performance? I guess we did talk about the Yeti's performance. So then, So I loved the Yeti starting the performance at the campfire. I thought that was phenomenal. The Yeti has this weird dagger microphone, which was great. And then I'm a big sucker for when the floor is cloudy, and the Yeti had that, and I like that a lot. And in the fan mail, the Yeti was called a quadruple legend.
Yeah, which, triple threat, nah. Mm-hmm,
singer, quadruple dancer, threat. Actor, and a fourth thing that I know is also there for Omarion.
What would that fourth thing be? Is that a B2K reference? Four of them?
Well, I'll tell you a B2K reference. Diddy was on a B2K track known as Bump, Bump, Bump. That's three bumps. So there. But no, I mean, Omarion does a bunch of stuff. It makes complete sense that it would be a quadruple. And then I thought the Step Up clue was also a nod to a dance movie, but it was to You Got Served, not to... Whoever said Channing Tatum, was it Robin? He needs his guessing license revoked after that one.
As Frail Mary likes to say, you need to get your eyes checked.
Get your eyes checked. Singer, songwriter, rapper, actor, and dancer is his first line on Wiki.
Oh, all right. That's four things. That counts.
That's five things.
Oh, I can't count.
So I guess, yeah, actor... Dancer, singer, and rapper becomes the fourth one.
Yeah.
Well, then songwriter is written here too.
Okay. Well, yeah, but singer, rapper, I guess it depends. You could end up lumping those into one category.
I've written a song before.
Okay. Good.
Then don't patronize me.
You want me to write you a Wikipedia page and see if they keep it up? And they won't take it down? I'll write songwriter on it.
But no, don't write songwriter. I'm so much more. Like my credentials, there's better things than songwriter for me personally, I feel like.
Are you a septuple threat?
I would say maybe a quintuple threat.
Oh, okay. Just right.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. I feel like sextuple is too many for me.
I'm an octuple, baby. Octuple threat.
All right. Relax. Can you name all eight right now?
Scientist. Engineer. Podcaster. Yoga enthusiast.
Yeah, see, there you go. Yoga enthusiast is not part of a threat thing. It's just not. It's like, yeah, I'm a worker and I'm a provider and I like French fries. Like that's not a thing.
Food consumer.
Like maybe if you were on the show next, it would be like your last chyron for your threat. Yoga enthusiast.
Holy moly fan.
What do you think they call the fan? Like a holy moly head? No.
Oh, no, you're a holy molar. And then they wear these little hats, and they wear little hats that have, it's a golf putter on top of the hat, and there's a little hole, and it's like, I'm a holy molar. Okay. That's weird.
You really embarrassed yourself with that one, huh?
That's one of my threats. Makes situations awkward. Doesn't know when to stop talking.
It's not awkward. See the silence. Now this was awkward. No, I on purpose waited it out. I was like, she's not going to say anything after this. It'll be good.
Well, yeah, but that's why I didn't say anything. Oh, whatever. Oh my gosh. I'm a comedian. I'm not really a comedian. Sometimes semi-funny person, perhaps. So, that's me.
So Robin Thicke loses his guessing license by guessing Channing Tatum. Ken Jeong guesses Twista, which was also one that would be worth losing your license over. And then Jenny McCarthy goes with Neo, who, not going to spoil their placement or their season, but Neo has been on a Masked Singer, not in the US. I will not tell you which iteration, so you won't get spoiled at all, but that's the thing you know now. It's good for you. The Cloodle comes in and says, well, I'm the Cloodle too, and you'll find me out next week.
You really hate the Cloodle too.
It's stupid. It's just, I'm over the Cloodle too. Okay. I'm just over it. I'm over it.
I don't mind them. It's dumb.
It's the Cloodle dude did a whole lot of nothing, and watch, it's gonna be Jenny McCarthy's husband. Like, I'm sure it's gonna be Jenny McCarthy's husband.
I still think it's Will Arnett, and it's gonna be a tie-in to Lego Masters. That's what I like, very much firmly believe this. And even next week when he gets unmasked and it's not Will Arnett, I'm gonna say it should have been Will Arnett.
For me, I just feel like it's for sure Donnie Wahlberg, because when I think about it, I'm like, they literally had a wild card spot filled up with Nick Cannon. They would have definitely gone in-house to get someone to do this role, which is a non-singing role. You bring someone that you wouldn't want in a singing role. I do think the mention of maybe Jamie Foxx is a good thing too, but Jamie Foxx has more class than to do this.
Maybe. I could see him doing the Cloodle-Doo.
If Jamie Foxx is on the show, he's going to sing.
He was a guest already.
Yeah. But if he's on the show as like a performer, he's going to sing. He's not going to be the cluckety cluck. I am here again to let you know that you missed this super clue. And today's clue, we're looking at it. They'll make a better panelist than you. Cluck, cluck.
Why do you sound like Barney?
A yoke? That's Goofy.
No, that's Goofy.
Gorsh.
I think part of the whole cluckle cluddle do thing was that it came in such like badass, and it's, oh, I'm cluddle.
Why is cluddle a smoker now? I'm cluddle.
It's very stressful, his position. All right. And you know, there was the whole the takeover, and it's all dark, and there's all the images or whatever, and it just is like a guy who just pops in to bother you every once in a while, so it's not very threatening.
I don't like that the Cloodle dude did come in as a badass of like, ooh, the enigma that is the Cloodle dude. What is the Cloodle dude gonna do next? And then the judges treat him like such a joke. Robin Thicke literally said he's going to deep fry the Cloodle dude. So it's like, I'm like, now you're a clown. They made you seem like a clown. I wish they would have like leaned into, ooh, what's going to happen next with the Cloodle? They just like, they kind of nothinged him. And I feel like that made me nothing him.
I guess so. I don't know.
Well, tune in next week and we'll find out who the Cloodle do is.
I'm putting my money on Will Arnett.
I'll put it on Donnie Wahlberg.
All right. Deal.
All right. Lock it in. Will these count as the golden ears or something?
Okay, sure. I don't care.
What, Liana, why?
Because I think I'm right. Boom. Oh, I'm luring you into a false sense of security. Because I'm luring you into a false sense of security. Whatever. Yeah. Made me out my own strategy.
See, listen, what I do well is I give you the head start. I lean into the background. And then when you don't expect it, I pop up just like a chameleon would. And the chameleon was the last performer of the evening. And the chameleon's clue package, chameleon talks about, they knew they weren't a singer. They're here to vibe. They, even with the theater background, they'd never done a performance like this. They definitely leaned into not doing singing because they didn't expect to be good in this group of performers. And their personal hero is Jackie Chan. All right, Liana, what did you think of this final performance?
I wonder if the chameleon, I would love to know, honestly, if the chameleon thought that he was going to make it this far. Honestly, because I think, deservedly so, I think the chameleon has really been able to drop some really amazing performances on us. But just because we haven't seen someone like him succeed and go so deep into the competition, I would love that little bit of insight. So maybe we'll get that one day. But that being said, the chameleon's performance, drop it like it's hot, classic. We love it. I thought this was really fun. I did notice, though, the fact that he wasn't singing every piece of it, right? And so that took a little bit out for me.
Yeah, it's very hard when he picks a song that he has to censor like every four words. Mm-hmm. I felt like this was a difficult feat. But here's the thing, Liana. So I think that the Chameleon's blueprint, actually one of the, I think Robin Thicke brings this up. They talk about how every week they see someone trying to go bigger, do something new. The Chameleon mm-hmm. stays in their lane and does what they're good and it works. So mm-hmm. I do think that the good part of this is that when it comes to the Chameleon, the formula is relatively simple. A, you use a feel-good song, a nostalgic song that everyone's going to vibe to. It's upbeat. You don't miss a beat because you are a rapper and this is what you do. So you know how to go. You know how to follow the flow. You know how to follow the beat. You know how mm-hmm. to set the rhythm, set the vibe, and you just excel and you do a good job. Like, no part of this was bad to me. I still preferred the Busta Rhymes tune from the previous week, but right. this, you're not going to go wrong with Drop It Like It's Hot unless you right. watch it, which I don't think was the case.
Unless you're the White Tiger, some situation like that, right?
Yep. So, exactly.
First of all, I completely agree with you that I think that the Chameleon has been able to succeed because he does stay in his lane. But that is sort of part of the reason why ultimately, I don't know, maybe because we haven't had someone like the Chameleon succeed. But I almost feel better about giving it to someone who shows more versatility, because that's something that I personally value in the winner of The Masked Singer. But at the same time, I think the Chameleon has brought something that no one else has been able to consistently bring to the show, and that should mm-hmm. be commended as well.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. I do think that for me, what's interesting is that I think the Chameleon's doing what the Frog was trying to do, but better. Because I think the Frog had more razzle dazzle, right? The Frog definitely danced more.
Yeah. But
the Frog's music choice, sometimes the flow was just awful. Like, I think back to the Pitbull song, and that did work for the Frog, right? Yeah. So I think that what the Chameleon lacks in like physical razzle dazzle, the Chameleon's making up with using a song that in and of itself is a razzle dazzle of a song, and the background fits it. And the Chameleon's outfit is underrated in that the Chameleon's outfit is this neon nightclub fun color. So you always assume that there's razzle dazzle and fun there, even if the Chameleon's not really moving.
I love the Chameleon's costume, and the fact that the Chameleon is like 10 feet tall also really mm-hmm. helps, because it's just this beacon of fun. Is that a thing? I don't know, but that's how I feel. And then with the pyrotechnics going off in the background, the performances are always very visually appealing to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm looking at the Chameleon's performances from the beginning of the show. Ride With Me by Nelly. Again,
song.
Love that song. Next song the Chameleon did was 21 Questions by 50 Cent. Again, mm-hmm. great song, that 2000s nostalgia in full force. Hip Hop by Dead Prez, again, perfect, well-known song, lovely. Then it's Regulate by Warren G featuring Nate Dogg. Everyone knows this song, easy done. Put Your Hands Where My Eye Can See, I think is the one where not everyone's going to know potentially. If you're a Busta fan, you already know this, easy done. And then Drop It Like It's Hot. So literally, and I think the Busta Rhymes song to me was his best performance because you don't miss a beat at all. So,
go ahead. Well, I think this also partially explains why I thought the Chameleon was going to go sooner than he was, because he's not showing that versatility. And I'm so used to that being a necessary part of the competition, or it feels like those who succeed and go far are able to do more than just their lane. And the Chameleon hasn't necessarily gone out of his lane, but that being said, he's executing, he's driving straight down that lane and he's killing it while he's there. So that should, and I think that's the explanation for why he's still here.
Yeah. So, and I do think this can go one of two ways next week. Either the Chameleon stays in their lane, gives us another banger, which actually, you know what, we should maybe think about it and then predict what the song's going to be before we head on out. Does that really well and then makes it, or every other performer will do something big and this is where the Chameleon just cannot keep up and will have to succumb to fourth place finish, which mm-hmm. I like my fourth placers on The Masked Singer. You know, the Leopard was a fourth place finisher, so this would be in the same vein of I love this person. So
yeah, I think there's being on the show was always a fun time.
Yes. All right. So I'm trying to think, what song do you think would be what the chameleon hits us with?
Well, I mean, let me look at his performances again, because I mean, he's staying in a, like, it's a very narrow lane. So I'm sure we can try to guess somebody who's within that lane.
Well, I'm looking at like my 2000s hip hop candy shop by 50 Cent as possible. I could see that happening. A Lil Wayne song is not outside the realm of possibility and hasn't come up yet. You know what? I could see 6 foot, 7 foot. I could see that being the song that,
especially because he already did a 50 Cent song. And I think he's trying to mix it up, right?
Lean Back. Ride with
Me. Oh, Lean Back would be good.
He already did Ride With Me. That was the first week.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. Okay. I'm happy that that was one of his songs.
Yeah, by Usher. That's definitely in the books.
That's 2004.
Okay. Yeah, that would work. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. Yeah, I feel like a DMX song is not outside the realm of possibility. Ooh, Tipsy by Jaquan would be a great one as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a bunch of bangers in here. See, that's what I'm saying. If I hear any of these, I would get so hype. Well, I know, and I know it's directly to my demographic, like it speaks to me. But it just works. It's a good recipe. Okay. All right. Let's see. The judges, they make their comments. The mailbox clue is any friend of Martha Stewart is a friend of mine. They're all like, ooh, Snoop Dogg. But if you think about it, a friend of Martha Stewart's is Snoop Dogg, and Snoop Dogg is a friend of Wiz Khalifa's. Right. Boom. Mm-hmm. Connecting the dots. Easy done. And then Snoop Dogg by Nicole is a very ballsy guess. Blake Griffin is an outrageous guess by Rob Riggle. Absolutely outrageous guess by Rob Riggle. This is where I thought, okay, Rob, you were here for the comedy and that's it. Really.
Yeah. Look. He's trying his best.
Yeah. Bless him.
God bless.
All right. And then we get to the end. We do the unmasking and boom, Russian Dolls, your season is closed. And interestingly enough, instead of Take It Off, we got Twist It Off. Do you like Twist It Off better?
I don't understand why it needed to be Twist It Off. It's still Take It Off, right?
Technically, you got to twist it off to take it off. So, yeah, that works.
Exactly. Yeah. But I think twist it off is a subset of take it off, right? Yeah, so, if you're going to take it off, you could twist it off. You could bop it off. You could. Yeah, because
you're not going to catch them saying lift it off for what's it called? The other performers, right? Yeah, they say take it off. So, it should be take it off.
Take it off is more general and it encompasses all of the different ways that you maybe need to take the helmet, the headpiece, the top
the top half,
whatever, so that we can see their face. Take it off.
So Liana, what did you have in your vault guess for this one?
Okay, I had written down the Black Crowes as my vault guess because at the time I thought there were two. They're brothers, Chris and Rich Robinson. That was obviously very wrong. But I will say I had a very long list, but Hanson was on that list. Mm-hmm. Oh, I also said Devo, which is actually kind of hilarious because someone guessed Devo at some point in this episode.
Rob Riggle did.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, look, it's fine. I also had the Jonas Brothers on there as well.
So yeah, for me, I had the Jonas Brothers in my thoughts, but because I thought it was two people, I actually had Savage Garden.
No way. Are you serious?
Yeah. Cause like I'm a big, I loved Savage Garden as a kid for like a year, I think, but they've stuck in my mind since. So I'm expecting them to pop up. So when I saw two people, I thought, let's gamble. Obviously, none of us get this point. But if there was a point for by episode two, who figured it out, I would give the point to you. But that doesn't mean anything. Yeah.
This was my full list. The Black Crowes, Good Charlotte, Stone Temple Pilots, the Jonas Brothers, Devo, and Hanson. Those were
This is a roster, not a list. This is massive.
It's six.
You had six guesses?
No, I locked in the Black Crowes as my guess, but I had alternate guesses in case it mattered.
This is like when you were like, I know who the popcorn is. And in this essay, there are 18 guesses that it could be.
But I've narrowed it down to one of these 18.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
Well, as far as the judges go, Nicole goes with the cast of Glee. Funny. But I like the idea that, you know, people could just slide in and out every week. But also then it's like you might as well be playing a different game because it's going to be hard to guess you. But then by the end of the episode, Jenny, Nicole, and Rob all said Hanson. Ken Jeong went with the Jonas Brothers. Do you have in your notes what Robin went with? Because I did not write Robin's down.
Didn't he say Sugarland or something extremely embarrassing for him?
He said Sugarland, yes.
Man, Robin, did Robin pull the short straw this season where he's not allowed to give good guesses, or is he just really feeling off?
I mean, he's got a couple in his like in mid game, but his end of episode guesses have been pretty horrendous.
Oof. I
think it's a tie between Jenny McCarthy and Ken Jeong right now for the winner of the Golden Ear.
But that's because it only matters what your vault guess is, right? It doesn't matter if you switch it at the end.
Exactly. No, it does not. It does not. So that brings us, that concludes this episode of The Masked Singer Season 5, Episode 10. Liana, what are you up to? And where can people find you?
Watching Holy Moly 3D and 2D.
You can catch me outside on the block watching Holy Moly 3D, but in 2D.
I love it. Okay, sorry. Seriously, I am podcasting about nothing right now. Just podcasting about The Masked Singer with you, having a great time. But I will be, again, back at some point for whenever All Stars 3 comes back for Drag Race. And then just got the go-ahead today. That's right, folks. You heard it here first. Lego Masters Season 2 is coming back June 1st. And I'm going to be doing some one-off coverage with my wonderful sister to talk about that. So boom, if you're interested and you want updates on that, you can always follow me on my Twitter at Liana RHAP.
Lovely stuff. And Liana does also stream on Twitch here and there under the name twitch.tv/Liana-ism.
Yep, Liana-ism. That's me.
That's right. That's right. And you'll find me on all major social media platforms, Twitter, Instagram, Puya-ism, twitch.tv/Puya only. It's been a very fun time here. 90 Day Fiance Happily Ever After is picking up steam. 3 episodes in now. Me and Rob got back together and talked about that. You can check that out over on the 90 Day Fiance feed. And of course, it's a delight getting to come here and talk with Liana about Masked Singer every week. And I do stream about 3 or 4 times a week now on twitch.tv/Puya. Now, before we head on out here, I have 2 things I want to say. Okay. First thing is I want to say a very, very warm thank you to everybody who has left a rating and review for our podcast over on Apple. It really means a lot. It helps people find the podcast. We have smashed our previous goal of 100. We are now at 104 in the US charts. And I want to see if we can end the season on 110, hopefully. So if you would like to help us reach that goal, please go over to robusofwebsite.com/MaskedSinger. That's robusofwebsite.com/MaskedSinger. It would be very much appreciated. We do appreciate all your feedback. And if you've made it this far into the podcast, thank you. Thank you so much. And in order to celebrate this, if you could please, to show that you've made it to the end of the podcast, send Liana or myself or both of us on Twitter, send us a picture of a golf ball. That way we'll know that you're in the know about the Holy Moly of it all and what's going on there. And it can be a golf ball. It can be a golf club. It could be a mini golf course, anything, anything to do to this, not to the Holy Moly. We'll know that you did it and we'll appreciate it very much.
Yeah. Great. I'm actually kind of excited. And like I said, I'm all in on Holy Moly, the squeakwell, whatever it was.
All right, now here's the Cloodle-Doo saying bye, beat you adoo, till the next episode. Yeah, so the next episode, the Cloodle-Doo is going to get unmasked. We'll see how that goes. And someone else is going to lose. And then we're going to get to the finale on the 26th of May, the finale of The Masked Singer Season 5. I can't believe we're already at the end.
It's all happening. It's all happening.
It is all happening. That's it for us here. We hope you have a good weekend. We hope you have a lovely week. Till the next episode, take care, stay hydrated, and remember, sometimes things that appear to be in 3D are actually in 2D. All right. Bye.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.